Let's go to the New Testament book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while just this little bit of God's word is being read here this morning. Verse 27, the first part of that. God's word says this: whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. We'll just stop right there. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, it's just a short little verse, but it's just packed with a lot of power, as all your scripture is. Father, I don't know why I seem to be tongue-tied here this morning, but Father, I just pray that this message that you have given me just rolls off of my tongue the way that you want it to roll off of my tongue here this morning. Father, I want your truth to be proclaimed, and you have put me here to be that person to do that. And so, Father, I just ask that you remove all obstacles, whatever they may be. So, Father, the truth, I want to be lifted up. May you be praised here this morning. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Today's one of those days that I have brought a prop with me. The last time I brought a prop, remember we had the box and we had the marbles in the box? Today I have brought with me my fifth grade report card. My fifth grade report card. And here it is right here. As most of you know, I was brought up in the Catholic faith, and I went to the first 8 years of my schooling, I went to St. Wendelin's Catholic School. So here is my St. Wendelin's Catholic School elementary report card. It is actually, it has a few signatures on it here. My friend Dennis Miller, I think I've told you that story. Dennis Miller, I believe he's on Fox News now, and he was on Monday Night Football. He was a color commentator for a while. That same Dennis Miller, I went to grade school with him, and here's his signature. Maybe that'll be worth money one of these days. You never know. Let's go down through what a typical report card would be like. Here's all the different subjects I took that particular year. Christian doctrine, got an A. Reading, a B. Handwriting, a B. Spelling, A. English, A. Problems, B. Science, B. History, A. Geography, A. Music, a B. Art, B. My final grade average for my fifth grade year? An A. Do you believe that? And that is why I brought the fifth grade, because the other ones weren't quite as good. During that school year, I remember I had three teachers that year. Started off with a woman by the name of Mrs. Cover, and for some reason she didn't last very long. And then she was replaced by a teacher, Mr. Borelli, and that was the first time I ever had a male teacher in my schooling. And he didn't last very long either. And then he was replaced by Sister Dolorita. Nuns, they last forever. So she wasn't going to go away anytime soon. So ended that school year with Sister Dolorita. But the part I want to bring out wasn't so much my teachers. It wasn't so much Dennis Miller's signature on my fifth grade report card. And wasn't even all the marks that I got in all my different subjects. I don't know if your report cards had this or not, but ours did in the elementary school. There was always another section right here, up in the top right-hand corner, that had two other categories to it. One was what they called school effort, and the other was school conduct. Two more categories. And you were rated by one of three letters. Either you got a E for excellent, you got an S for satisfactory, or you got a U for unsatisfactory. So let's see how I did and finished the year. School effort, an E. School conduct, an E. So I must have done fairly well in the fifth grade. So next week we'll bring Romy's report card. School conduct. I was rated on how well I behaved myself in school. Now, I don't know if your report cards had such categories in them or not, but certainly our report cards did. And in your report cards, I don't know about yours, but mine, we got these every 6 weeks. And at the end of that 6 weeks, when we got the report card, I had to take it home, and one of my parents had to sign the back of it. Is that the way it was with you? One of your parents had to sign it, and then you turned it back in, so the school knew that you, in fact, did show this to your parent or a guardian, and they signed it, and you took it back. So that was my report card from fifth grade in my conduct and effort. How is our Christian conduct? How is our Christian conduct? If God was to give you a report card, what grade would you get for your Christian conduct? Would He give you an E for excellent, an S for satisfactory, or a U for unsatisfactory? Would the grade that God gives you for Christian conduct match the grade that you would give yourself? It would only be fair to say that if a school wanted their students to conduct themselves in a certain way, well, that certain way would need to be taught to the students. After all, a student cannot be expected to conduct themselves in a certain way if we don't know what that certain way is. Talking about school, for the most part, school conduct was based on some very, very basic rules. I think we all know them. Here's just a few that I thought of when I was thinking of how my conduct was graded. Do not talk in class. Stay in your seat. Do not chew gum. Play nice at recess time. Stand when spoken to by the teacher. Do not cheat on your test. No fighting. No bad language. And in general, just behave yourself. And we all remember the rules for good conduct that your elementary schools taught you, and I'm sure that they were very similar. And I can't help thinking that as I was writing this back in 1961, 50 years ago, that one of the things that the teachers would tell you to do was leave your chewing gum at home. And it's sad to say that the teachers now tell the students, leave your weapons at home. My school had expectations of proper conduct from the students. We were taught certain rules and regulations, and we had to obey those certain rules and regulations. Our conduct, that grade that we got, would be a reflection of how well we knew, how well we understood, and how well we obeyed the rules of conduct. When it comes to Christian conduct, do we even know and understand how we're supposed to behave as Christians? Do we know the rules and regulations that we're supposed to obey? Have we even been taught God's expectations of proper Christian conduct? As in school, our conduct as a Christian will be a reflection of how well we know, how well we understand, and how well we obey God's rules. In today's scripture from the book of Philippians, we are told to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, regardless of what happens. Regardless of what happens. So what does that look like? If Paul is trying to tell us we're supposed to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, what is a manner worthy of the gospel? And he also starts that sentence by saying, whatever happens, whatever happens, whatever if it's good, whatever if it's bad, whatever if it's somewhere in between, whatever trials and tribulations might be thrown at us. Sort of like Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good. But we're supposed to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Well, we could spend years, or at least I could spend years, going over all the instruction that's given to us here in God's Word. But isn't that what we do here on a Sunday morning? We open up God's Word, some instruction is given, and hopefully when we leave this place, we go on out and try to put that instruction into practice. I was just going through the Bible and I was going to think of, well, let me just pick some of the things out of the Bible that would be good instruction for us. And so what I did, I just went through the book of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And I just tried to pick out just little bits and pieces of the things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that would be good instruction. Now I'm just going to go through this list rather quickly. And this is not a complete list, but it is a list nonetheless. Here's some of the things that Jesus instructs us with in the Sermon on the Mount. Anger is just as wrong as murder. Lust is just as wrong as adultery. Do not break an oath to God. Let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. Do not resist an evil person. Give to those who ask. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Give to the needy, but do it in secret. Pray in secret, but do not do it with repetition. Forgive others. Do not store up treasures on earth. Do not serve money. Do not worry and do not judge. And make sure you get the plank out of your eye before you do, you hypocrites. Make sure you ask, seek, and knock. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Bear good fruit. Build your house on the rock. And if all of those we feel like, well, I'm doing pretty good, here's the ultimate test. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's just some of the instructions that Jesus gives us on the Sermon on the Mount. And any one of these instructions, trust me, I could turn into a multi-week sermon series. But learning and understanding one of these instructions and the countless other instructions that are in God's Word, each one takes us one step closer to conducting ourselves as true Christians, because learning this is learning the expectations of God and the conduct that He requires of us. So here's today's question. Do we know, and do we understand, and do we obey enough of this to be found guilty of being a Christian? Do we know, understand, and enough of God's Word to be found guilty of being called a Christian? I believe that there are two very, very basic factors involved in why some Christians will get an E for excellent in their Christian conduct report card, and why some Christians will get a U for unsatisfactory on their Christian conduct report card. And let's talk about those two here this morning. And the first one will be the first fill-in-the-blank in our bulletin. The first one will be this. What is one factor involved why some get E's and some get U's? The fill in the blank would be this. The quality of teaching the Christian receives. The quality of teaching the Christian receives. And the extremes of teaching go from weak to strong. From weak to strong. Strong teaching has the potential for producing strong Christians. If I go to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that's a place where I like to spend a lot of time because that's some really good scripture. Paul is instructing Timothy on how to run the church at Ephesus. And he says this in these two verses, starting with 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, so the man of God, that would also include the woman of God, might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Isn't that what we want to do? We want to go on out into this world and do the good works that God has equipped us to do. But are we taught to do those things? Are we taught to do those things? Paul instructs Timothy here, and he says this: the instruction that you're going to give your people, Timothy, is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training. I can assure you, many people don't like to be rebuked, and they don't like to be corrected. Oh, you can teach me and you can train me, but don't give me any of that bad stuff. Don't do any of this pointing your fingers in my face, because I don't want to hear it. You know what, folks? Sometimes we just need to hear it, don't we? We need to hear the good with the bad. We need to hear it all. We do. And that's what Paul is trying to tell Timothy. They need to hear it all. They need to hear it all. Why? Because strong teaching produces strong Christians. On the other hand, I am convinced that weak teaching produces weak Christians. And the teaching in many churches today is weak at best. Preachers today don't want to dig into the truths of God's Word, because they fear if they do, it will become divisive among the people, or that people might get offended. People might get upset. And worst case scenario, people may leave and take their money and go somewhere else. Heaven forbid, don't want that to happen. My advice to those preachers is this: do what God's Word says. Preach the Word in and out of season. Preach it all. And allow the Holy Spirit to worry about the results. That's what I do. Preach the Word and let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. I try to do my part and I let Him take care of His part. The responsibility of a preacher is to feed you all of this, not just what he wants you to hear. And all of it includes this. It includes the good. It includes the bad. It includes the ugly. And it includes the tough to understand. And failure to do so, to preach it all, produces weak Christians. And then those Christians, when they go out into this world, they risk getting a U for unsatisfactory in their Christian conduct. Why? Because they have never been exposed to and taught the truth that has any substance to it whatsoever. You're not going to find that here. You're not going to find that here. You might find it on TV. I take it back. You will find it on TV, but you're not going to find it here. I try to preach the good, the bad, the ugly, and the tough to understand, because each and every one of those categories is going to make us grow in God's Word. And when we grow in God's Word, we go out there in this world, and our Christian conduct deserves an E for excellent and not a U for unsatisfactory, because the teacher failed to teach what the teacher should have taught. Shame on him. Let's talk about the second factor and why some Christians get an E for excellent and some get a U for unsatisfactory for their Christian conduct. That would be our second fill in the blank. Second fill in the blank would say this: the desire that the Christian has to learn and obey. Yes, it's sometimes the teacher's fault, and sometimes it's the fault of the student. And for this, I'm going to go to the book of James and read a very, very interesting portion of Scripture out of James chapter 1. And I think James sums it up rather well when he says what he says right here. I'm going to read chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. And he says this: my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Key verse number 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. About six scripture verses I read there, and the key one is this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. You know, I told you many, many times I grew up as a Catholic. And I cannot speak for all Catholics. I'll speak for myself. This was a typical day in the life of me as I was growing up in my Catholic faith. I knew the rules and regulations. I knew the do's and don'ts. I knew what I could do and get away with. I knew what was right. I knew what was wrong. And you confessed all that in a confessional that looked something similar to this. You went in this little room and you told the priest all of your iniquities and you just ran them all out to him and he gave you a penance and he told you that your sins would be forgiven once you completed that penance. Then you walk out and you start it all over again. See, for me, it was all about that room right there. I could go into that room and have everything forgiven, but I never lived it. I knew the rights and I knew the wrongs. But I never learned to read the word and do what it says. Do what it says. Back last summer, we had a sermon series on Count the Cost. And in that sermon series, I made up an imaginary character. Her name was Sally. And the mindset that we had in that whole sermon series was this, that Sally was this person that we knew, either a coworker or a friend or something. And there was something about Sally that was very, very interesting. Something that she had, her disposition, her attitude, just her walk. And you said, I like that. I would like to have what she has. Well, what she had was Christianity. What she had was a Christian walk that she not only knew what the walk was, not only did she understand the rules and regulations, but she lived it. Like it says in James, do not merely listen to the word. Sally didn't merely listen to the word. She did what it said. There's something very attractive about a person who walks the Christian walk. God has expectations of those of us that He calls His children, of true believers. Let's do this. I promise, as your pastor, that I will do everything within my power, the power that the Spirit gives me, to give you strong teaching. Because strong teaching will produce strong Christians. And that's what I want to see. And let's all do what James says. Let's all have a strong desire to do what God's Word tells us to do. Somebody out there in this world has to be the example setters for what God's Word is saying. Let's start with Beech Grove. Let's start right here. I can't worry about church A, B, C, X, Y, and Z. They have their own preachers, their own congregations. I'll offer the strong teaching, and let's all be strong believers. Does that sound like something we can do? Does that sound like a path that we might want to go down? That when we go out there, that people will say, I bet you that person's a Christian, because they see the way that we act, the way that we talk, the way that we do things. This is going to be a 3-week series. And next week is going to be very interesting. Very interesting. Why do some Christians get used? They're just weak Christians. Maybe and probably because of weak teaching. Why do some Christians get E for excellent in their spiritual conduct, in their Christian conduct? I assure you, weak teaching never produces a strong Christian, my friends. Amen? Amen. Weak teaching, let me say it again, that wasn't good enough. Weak teaching never produces strong Christians. Amen? Amen. Amen. Strong teaching produces strong Christians. A lot of that has to do, too, my friends, with how much you get into this book when we're not in here on a Sunday morning. I hope you take time to get into God's Word, read it, learn from it, and do what it says. And next week, we're going to talk why it is so imperative that we strive to get that E on our Christian conduct report card. Please come back. It gets better. Let's go to God in prayer.